Welcome to the In Hope Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Preach.
And I'm Brandon. And each week we drop an episode to strengthen unity in the body of Christ.
We want you to be part of the conversation. So make sure you like, share, subscribe, and let's talk. All right. So today we're talking about division.
Awesome. Let's go.
Yeah.
Everybody's favorite topic.
Right? I feel like this is one that every organization needs to address, but I feel like it's so pertinent, so important within ministry. I have never met someone who works within ministry, especially within a church context, that has not in some way come across division.
Yeah. I think it's just part of life, honestly. Like, yeah. I mean, you find division everywhere. I mean, it's not just a church issue, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's an attack, right? Like, that's a goal.
Yeah.
It's a goal to divide. So, for the enemy, of course.
Yeah.
Not for God. So, we're going to run into that. And, I think it's not talked about enough, or trained enough.
Yeah.
And we could talk a little bit about that and the Bible. I mean, has a lot to say about it and helping us work through it, because God knows that we're going to struggle with it.
Yeah.
Struggle with division. And so we want to talk through that a little bit. And that's part of our mission statement. Like we mentioned in the last episode, we're kind of going through our refined mission statement here as to what we're trying to accomplish with unity in this podcast. And let me see. I moved it. I'm going to read it again here.
Oh, I got you.
You got it? You want to read it?
Yep, I got it. So this podcast.
Podcast. It's not Donald Duck. What's his name?
Yeah, isn't that Donald? No, yeah, it's
Elmer Fudd. Elmer Fudd.
Yeah.
It's podcast. All right. We digress. All right, go ahead.
Sorry, guys. All right. So this podcast equips young leaders to shepherd the church away from division and toward a unified movement.
Yeah.
And
so we are trying to get away from division. And that we talked about shepherding in the last episode, and part of that is shepherding, helping to lead you guys and hopefully each other as you go through these things. That's part of our role as leaders and shepherds is to help work through division and learn how to work through division and recognize that it's just going to be part of our battle, you know?
Absolutely. And so that is a major thing that we want to see us get a better upper hand on, that we're going to be battling regularly. And it's something that we don't turn attention to. It's kind of a battle that we usually don't turn a lot of focus and attention to until it is at the degree of a split, right? Like of some type of church split. But division starts well before that. All of that is just a
manifestation. Or we know it and we avoid it until it becomes that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so all of that's just a split is just a manifestation of the enemy trying to come in and corrupt and cause division, because he's trying to weaken the church, and a unified church is his worst fear, because there's nothing that he can do to stop that.
Yep, so, which we talked about recently, about it being like an army. And,
exactly.
And we are all together. We are a force to be reckoned with God as our leader. And but if the enemy can split us up, that's his goal, because it's easier to attack smaller segments than it is to attack the whole.
Yeah, and it's easier to defend against them. And so if you have waves, you know, I have, if anybody, okay, anyways, if anybody plays Plants vs. Zombies or like one of those phone games where you have waves of things coming at you, then you know it's easier to attack small waves, like a group of three or four, than if they just launched everything at you.
If they just all in. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a whole lot easier if you can have attacks coming in little pieces. And so
you see that with the movie 300, right?
Come on now.
You got this 300 men that they knew that they had to defend against this massive army.
Yeah.
So what they did is they placed themselves into a spot that you could only get so many people in at a time.
Yep.
Which made it so they were more effective at defense.
Exactly.
And it's kind of the same idea. The enemy's trying to do that to us by, if he can separate us off, then he can attack or then he can defend against these little smaller amounts. Yeah.
Yep. And so I have a passage in James that I wanted to read, but before we do,
this might be the same one I pulled up.
Is it
4:1-3?
Yes, it is.
Oh,
go ahead
look
and
at
read
us being on the same. Hey,
go ahead.
Look at us.
Come on now. Go ahead and read it.
Look at God. I mean, I should say. You want me to read it?
Yeah. Do you
think? Oh, okay. All right. James 4:1-3. This is James talking about us as the church. And he said, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you do ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures." There's a lot in there.
There's a lot there.
Let's start with the beginning. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the desires that battle within you? And I think that's true. I think we do face a lot of the battles that come in. And I mention this all the time, but a lot of times it boils down to pride, right?
Oh, no.
The battles that we face within the church and between churches. And it's like, well, I have it right. You have it wrong. And I'm not willing to concede. I'm not willing to humble myself at all to hear your side of the argument.
Yeah.
And so we're just going to battle it out. And that can be both sides, right? Both sides can have that kind of pride and not want to, because we want certain things. And unfortunately, just becoming a Christian doesn't take away those desires, those evil desires that we often have to be successful, to be number one. I'm just trying to throw out a few that I think oftentimes to have the biggest church or the biggest youth group, to have the best worship music, you know, these kind of things that come up. Those are fleshy desires, I think, because I mean, we should definitely aim to be the best that we can be.
Yeah.
But not at the expense of saying that someone else is worse. I think the thing that comes up with that, because most people that are following God or trying to lead other people to God, their heart is right. And they want to see people know God, and that's the goal.
Yeah.
And they might not be as good at doing worship or as even good at preaching or any of those kind of things. And that doesn't need to be a battle.
No.
Because any one of us can't reach everybody.
Yeah.
And so, and how we do that and cultures and all those things become battles because we think we're right. We think we're the ones that are doing it right.
Yeah. And you know, and I you have to hear me out all the way on this, because I know I'm going to get some people trying to flip a table. God doesn't need the best. God doesn't. He doesn't need the best. He just wants you.
He wants the heart.
He wants the heart, right?
He wants the best of your heart. If your skill level is not as good, that's not as important,
right? And so he doesn't need it. He's not asking for the best. He's asking for you. And that I said, hear me out all the way, because that doesn't mean he doesn't. Because we all know he deserves the best.
Yeah,
that's what he deserves. Yep. But remember that we also serve a humble king who, like Brandon said, it's more about the heart.
Yeah.
And he wants your heart. He would rather have all of your heart than have the best.
Yeah.
And so I think that's something to keep in mind, especially as we're talking about these different elements of competition, friendly competition, that we can kind of have amongst each other. Remember that, you know, God's not calling you to be the best. He's just calling you to himself. And we're going to give him the best that we can. But sometimes, you know, it can become easy, and it's a road that, or it's a game that the enemy likes to play, where we start off with good intention and pride becomes masked in good intention, where we're battling to be the best in this or that, or be recognized as the best in this or that. And we mask it in, well, we want to offer God the best, or we want the best worship, or the best this or the best that, so that we can reach more people, so that we can serve God's people better. But God can do more with all of your heart than he can with all of your skill. And so,
that's good.
I mean, if we just, he can do, like, he can take the worst preacher, teacher, and pack a coliseum with them and see hundreds and thousands come to get saved. Why? Because he doesn't need the best preacher, teacher.
He just needs someone that's willing.
He just needs someone that's willing.
Yeah. Well, right? I mean, that's the story of Moses, right? Come like, he was now. Like, I can't even talk. I can't even lead these people. Right? Like, well, I got a stutter. Like, how am I supposed to do this? And it was in that weakness, actually. Well, and it's, there's a verse, right?
Come on now.
My strength talk is made it. Perfect in your weakness. Yep. It's not made perfect in your high skill.
Exactly.
And it's great. I mean, he's given us great skills and he wants us to use them, and he wants us to give him the best that we can.
And he deserves it.
And honor him in that way. Yeah. But it's the best that you can, not the best that's out there.
Yeah. And it's so freeing when you realize that it's not, you have to give the best, but your relationship, your identity in God, in Christ, it's already confirmed. You are a child of God.
Yeah.
He wants your heart, and you're just giving him your heart. And it's so freeing when you do that, because instead of having this fixation on whether or not it's the best and everything is perfect, you're able to just live in that relationship with him, and he can take that and he can do amazing things with it, and he can bring it to the best that it's ever been. But the focus should be on him, drawing near to him, relationship with him, versus all of the attention on perfecting that skill, so to speak. There's a freedom that comes when you know you're not bound to, or you're not a failure when you don't reach that place.
Yeah. Well, and that you have a place that that you can reach that no one else can even.
Yeah.
Your skill set is good for what it's good for.
Yeah.
If I could say it in a really simple, dumb way. but I see that in like the second verse that we just read, is that you desire, but you don't have, so you covet, because you cannot get what you want. Mm. And that's that same thing. We're wanting to be like that big church that has that great thing.
Yeah.
Instead of just knowing that what we have is what is needed in that moment for that place and those people that we have in our care. And we can work together with those and not demonize them.
Yeah.
Because we've had that discussion before about big churches versus small churches and all that kind of stuff, and how sometimes that turns into this, almost like demonizing of the other kind.
Yeah.
Or of the other size.
Yeah. The big church is tickling ears, and the little church has no anointing.
Yep. Right. That could be it. Or they don't, whatever it is that we use to demonize those kind of things. And that's just a road to division, and it's based in coveting. It's based in jealousy.
Yeah.
Possibly. And so we really need to be aware of that and understand that that's not what God wants or needs.
Yeah. And I think that that coveting, that envy, that jealousy leads right into that verse 3, where he's saying you don't receive when you ask, you don't receive because you're asking with wrong motive.
Right That motive is important. That's a heart thing, right?
It's a heart thing.
Where's your heart? Is your heart towards just becoming the next best, biggest church, or is it towards actually reaching the most people that I have for you? Or even just actually again, it's not even about that. It's like about the relationship. It's like, yeah. Is your heart just towards me? And then those things will come.
Yeah. Are you?
I'll go back to the other verse that I shared last time. The seek first the kingdom, exactly. And all these things will be added to you. Are you just seeking me? And then I will add the things that I need to add to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes, especially, and we need to be careful with this, because as leaders, and especially as young leaders, you need to guard yourself from trying to being so focused on being a good leader that we've talked about not being a good follower of Christ. And the goal should not be to lead a successful organization or be the best leader of a successful organization, but to be the best follower that you can. Your goal should be how well and how successful you are in following Christ versus what organization you're able to build and what type of success through the worlds or even, and I say the worlds through the churches, the people lens that we can have with butts, bucks and buildings when it comes to the church, through that lens, we shouldn't be aiming for success in that lens and that be what it's about, but it should be about following Christ. And we should be willing to say, I'm going to take one butt and one book and no building if that's what it means, if that's going to be me successfully following Christ, if that's what he's calling me to.
Yeah. So. And what is true success? I think oftentimes we fall in the trap of numbers.
Yeah.
Being the most success. But that can actually lead to consumerism, honestly.
Oh, absolutely. Like
we can totally water down the gospel, just try to get numbers.
Absolutely.
What we should really be concerned about is, I feel like someone needs to hear this, is if you have a smaller youth group, because I was in youth, that's where I go to with this, is if you have a smaller youth group than the one down the street, are you coveting them for their size when you might be discipling those youth that you have in a really strong, heart-filled way towards God?
Yeah.
And that honestly is more important. And hopefully they are too. The bigger, the one that has more people, that doesn't really matter, because the ones that you are discipling, there's a trickle down effect for all of it.
Yeah.
And so be faithful with what God has given you, I guess, is always the thing that I say to this.
Absolutely.
Because God's got the numbers all figured out, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But if you're faithful with what God has given you, he will entrust you with even more.
Absolutely.
And that's part of that seeking, just seek the kingdom.
Yeah.
And he will add to you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not about having more disciples. It's about having stronger disciples.
Yeah.
And that's really where some of that focus needs to shift. Because sometimes we get caught up in the numbers and we're wanting to have more or match up with someone that has more. But if, you know, again, that church down the road that has 1,000 people and is, you know, building the new building, that doesn't mean that they're necessarily more successful or they're doing, you know, they're doing what God wants you to do and you're not doing it. God may have you at a place where you got 50 or 100 people versus that 1,000, but he's asking you to strengthen, or five, right? And he's asking you not to find more disciples, but to strengthen the disciples he's given you. And that's interesting because, I mean, even with our, as Brandon mentioned, we've recently kind of refocused our mission and we've been walking through that, through the language of it. And something that you'll notice if you're looking for a read and like you're looking at our bio and whatnot, something you're going to notice on there, on the descriptions of our podcast, it says that our mission is not a large following. It's equipping young, faithful, unity-minded leaders.
Yeah.
And that's kind of that idea of it's not about more people, more listeners, more subscribers, but it's about you who are part of this conversation and those that you're inviting in to the conversation. It's about us being faithful, unity-minded leaders together and being stronger in that, strengthening unity in Christ with one another. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
So what's it called? So, I mean, we read that James 1 through 3. Another passage that we have to touch on here, because as we're talking about, I mean, we're kind of digging into the pride, right? That's one of those areas that really is a cause for division. Another area, before I jump over to Galatians, I just want to say another area is simply communication. Sometimes it's not that we are up. I have an alarm going off, guys, because I have prayer here in 15 minutes. So I should have snoozed that to make sure I don't miss it. But so it's sometimes it's not a matter of we are we're prideful or we have, you know, these other issues going on. Sometimes it's literally just a lack of communication, where there could be unity, where people want to be united, people want to be on the same page. So, and it's funny because we see this in the body of Christ, and we talk about this time and time again on the podcast, how there's things out there that so many believers and so many people would jump into if they just knew about it. And it's just, it's literally just a lack of awareness is what's keeping it. So that's part of this idea of communication. Sometimes there's miscommunication, there's misunderstanding. Sometimes there's just a lack of communication where we could be on the same page, we're not, because somebody didn't tell us that it was starting at 12:30 instead of 1:30. And now everybody's an hour late, right? So is there anything else there as far as, and I'm thinking just kind of more basic human error type of element.
Well, I think something to recognize here is he's calling out that we do have wrong motives sometimes. And we have sinful desires. And we should question ourselves when we're going through division. The simple thing that most people do is just blame the other person. It's really easy to point a finger and be like, well, this is you. And the harder, deeper thing to do, and I think it requires like learning some maturity, you know, is to look at yourself and go, are my motives right here? And so that's just a question to ask, you know, James is telling us like, recognize where your motives are. And if you have wrong motives, God knows, like he already knows. So you might as well ask yourself, because you're not going to get what you want from God unless you know that you're having a right motive. So if you're going to ask God, you know, punish that person for getting into this division with me or something, you know, you better have a good motive for why you're where you're at in when it comes to division. And that's true between individuals within a church, but I think also between bigger churches, like when we're talking about like my denomination's right about this and yours isn't, like, why do you want to be right about that? Like what benefit is there to the kingdom to be right? Is it to be right or unity? You know, which one is the heart of God? And so, and sometimes it will be right, you know, and those are battles you should do. I think there are certain battles within the church we need to engage in, because I also think that there's a lot of churches out there that are in silos and they might be completely off base biblically and they need some help. They need some, we actually talked about this once. There was and I don't know, I didn't do the research myself, but a guy that I'm friends with did this, and they looked into eldership and how it was more over an entire town or area than just an individual church. So there was like this eldership that would help correct the individual churches within, that was a more broad church thing. And so it wasn't just the church elders of that church and the church elders of this church. So there was more like communication as a whole. And so when those, because that's what their job is, the elders, is to correct inside the church. And so And sometimes that needs to happen. Sometimes there needs to be correction inside the church. And so we can't just be like, well, in the face of unity, you know, we can't correct anything.
Yeah.
Or you should just get along and you shouldn't try to have division at all. Where the correct answer is you need to make sure your motives are right. And then and make sure that you're not taking a sinful approach to it. Yeah. And then be confirmed in that and pray through it with God. And then if you feel like you need to confront something in the church, you should.
Yeah.
Because that does need to happen.
Yeah.
Too.
And that's that part of having ministers network with one another, especially within the community. And if you're thinking, well, we don't have one of those, call some other ministers. Say, hey, can we start getting together regularly?
Yeah.
Like, even if it's just you going and meeting with one or two others, you can get the voice of two or three other ministers at least speaking into your life and your ministry so that you're getting guidance from more than just your own mind. And what you're talking about, it's sometimes referred to as a Cyprian method of leadership or eldership within an area. Cyprian was a priest, cardinal type of guy back in the day. And when I say back in the day, I mean like 3rd century.
way back.
The type of dude where he was a big voice and advocate for unity within the church. Hmm. And his community made decisions together. Him and the other priests, bishops in the area always made decisions together. They would meet regularly and they would really, and this is something that we highly advocate, we say that ministers should be trying to do this, is they try to make sure that they were presenting a united front. If there was, for example, a major issue, the church would get together and we would talk about, the church leaders would get together and talk about, how are we going to address this with our people? What should the church's response be to this? And try to come to some kind of understanding so that they're using similar language. They're on the same page when addressing it. And just in that, when you're doing that, that gives you an opportunity to even share differences of opinion on how the church should respond and talk it out amongst mature believers. Since they're mature believers, we should be, you know, in a spirit of meekness and be able to humble and listen to one another and be able to talk these things out and present a united front to our community. It may be a literal issue. It may be, man, homelessness is going up in the area, right?
Yeah.
And then the church leaders coming together, and how are we going to address this with our congregations?
Yeah.
What can we do as a church in this city to address the homeless situation? What are we going to do? And actually coming together and talking about these things, whether it's a issue of something outside of the area that's more of a mindset, or, you know, a big disaster or something, or it's something very local, but just ministers coming together and actually having those conversations and inviting one another to say, let's go about these things together. And again, even if it's down to that simple, I respect you guys as peers, as other ministry leaders, and I want you guys to give me counsel, because the book of Proverbs talks about having advisors and seeking counsel, right? And so you do that with others.
I think I might have mentioned this before, but I don't think we should ever lose the ability to possibly have our theology changed.
Yeah.
And that's hard, because once we set in our beliefs, it's like we want to be set in our beliefs. We want to know that we are doing and leading other people the right way.
Yeah.
And so when something comes and challenges that, it's hard. It's hard to let that down. And I think that's something he's calling us to here, is make sure your motives are actually right for that. And that and that you you fully understand that that God is that we need to understand that there's been attacks of the enemy in the past that have lingering effects.
Yes. Yes.
You know, there's things that the enemy has done within the church that are still there that need to be addressed.
Yeah.
And we need to be okay with trying to work through those things. And it would be great to do like what you're talking about. If we can get more church leaders to come together that across denominations and all that kind of stuff and have those kind of conversations. Cause I don't think that happens a whole lot.
No, exactly. All right. Like I said, I know we've kind of got backed up on time here. I'm about to have to jump on and get on a prayer call.
Okay.
This actually might be a two part here, like two shorter ones, because we have to get into, we've talked about it a little bit with the pride, but there's a spiritual dynamic as well when it comes to division. And these are all things that the enemy will try to pull the thread at to try to make things happen. But I feel like we just even need to talk about how the enemy is at work in trying to bring division in different ways and places that he tries to attack. But just kind of as a bridge to that, and maybe we can pick up this conversation looking back on this at Galatians 5. We've talked about this passage before, but Galatians 5 lists the fruit of the Spirit and what it means to walk in the Spirit. But before it gets into the Spirit, it talks about what it looks like to walk in the flesh. And so often when we see division within the church, it's coming from a place of some of us are operating in the flesh.
Yeah.
So it's funny because we've even talked about before.
Well, and that's what he says, right? In the James one, he says the desires that come from within
From within, yeah.
Yeah, and that's our flesh.
Exactly, right? And I mean, we've even talked about before in the past how sometimes we can get something from God, something that is truly a truth that God has given. We can maybe be moved, encouraged by God in a certain way, but sometimes our expression of that moves beyond walking in the Spirit and we start adding some flesh into it. and so I say that because there's some times where, you know, God may highlight something for you, but the way that you communicate and go about, whether it's trying to encourage, trying to correct, whatever it may be, sometimes we start stepping into the flesh when trying to walk those things out. And so we have to be cautious in that because we can take, and the enemy loves this, the enemy loves taking a good thing and then using it to corrupt. And one of the greatest ways he likes to corrupt is to bring division. And so he will use our flesh to help bring that division. And it talks about this in Galatians when he's talking about works of the flesh. Notice how many of these are breeding grounds for division or just speak directly towards it. He says in Galatians 5, verse 19, "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and all things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." That was eight different things I just counted on my fingers that are all practically synonyms for causing division.
Yeah.
So, man. All right.
Yeah, we might have to get into that next time.
Oh, we're going to have to get into that. Like I said, I'm about to jump off, join a prayer call with some other ministers here in the area, something that we highly encourage you guys. And look, this is something that sometimes we put up more barriers than we need to. For example, this prayer call, this is something that we do over Zoom. And we just make it a weekly deal. Like, that's something that you can make it a phone call, make it a Zoom. When we're saying get together with other ministers and be in communication, that doesn't mean you have to have a 2-hour meeting, you know, every week. Yeah. It could be simply messaging each other more often. Being in communication. So definitely take those practices. We'll make sure we come back for part two on this of things that really cause division.
Yeah, that's good.
Thank you so much for joining us on the In Hope podcast today. Remember to like, subscribe, share, join this conversation, and invite others to this conversation.
And if you would like to be a part of our ministry moving forward, we would love to have you jump on our support team. And you can find that on the website.